We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The first voice there was Theo Epstein. The second voice was Joe Maddon. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Wolves' 25th anniversary season on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena.
Theo Epstein says the organization was aware that baseball's investigation remained ongoing. Joe Maddon said he was unaware that the investigation was ongoing, but that's not what troubled me more than his reaction to the question, did you read the blog? And his response was no. The follow-up immediately, to somebody's credit, was, should you? And he said, I don't know. Should I? As a matter of fact, you should.
It's a bad moment for Joe.
Yeah, I think if you're the boss, you should know these things. You absolutely should know that, and might have been a good idea to be a little bit more involved in some capacity along the way, other than sharing thoughts on a television program or a movie.
Well, and then two questions later, he said, I like to gather all the facts and information before I form an opinion on something. Well, Joe, there's some information out there that you haven't gathered right now. That
there sure is. Maybe he knows it is a foregone conclusion that Addison Russell is a few days from being out of his life forever.
It's possible.
It is possible.
Of course it is. We'll see. Major League Baseball has placed him on administrative leave. I'm sure the Cubs are furious. This is not the first incident that they've had with Addison Russell and issues with his behavior. And maybe it will be the final straw for him. Someone asked me to repeat a couple of those facts from earlier. And I read this today, and you know, I learned a lot about domestic violence. It was probably a blind spot for me. I had never encountered it in my direct orbit. But when the Chiefs drafted Tyreek Hill, and that was the same organization that had employed Jovan Belcher.
Correct.
Who, right, you know, killed the mother of his child and then himself at the team's facility. It was just so mind-boggling to me that they did that, that I learned a lot more about it. And we partnered with a domestic violence shelter in Kansas City, and I actually interacted with them on social media today, called Rosebrooks. And so I learned a lot more about it. And I wanted to refresh myself on this because a lot of people have been asking the question of, like, why would she be so delayed in coming forward?
And there are a lot of reasons why different victims would choose to keep that a private matter or just share it with friends.
Correct. But to put some numbers on it, this is from the Bureau of Justice Statistics. Police response to domestic violence studied the cases from 2006 to 2015. It says an average of about 716,000 instances of non-fatal domestic violence were reported to police each year. So that's reported to police each year, over 700,000. And about 582,000 instances went unreported altogether.
I would have guessed the number would have even been higher than that, than those reported.
So that's 56% of domestic violence cases are actually reported to authorities, which means 44%, you get the same thing?
I do.
Are not. So then listen to this. Charges were filed in 39% of reported cases, with a higher arrest rate when a complaint was signed and when there was serious injury. Among victims who did not report the abuse, about one-third made the choice for the sake of privacy, 21% were protecting the perpetrator, 20% felt the crime was minor, and 10% feared reprisal, the report found. Female victims were four times as likely as male victims to forego reporting because they feared reprisal. So there are a number of reasons why Melissa Russell at the time, Melissa Reedy now, might not have felt comfortable talking to Major League Baseball, talking to authorities, were coming forward at that time.
Well, and as she wrote in her blog, she was hoping to get her man back. She knew there was somebody inside there
who she fell in love with originally.
And that's how it always starts. You don't marry a monster. You don't make that decision when you think somebody who's going to torture you, be it verbally, emotionally, physically, ever. And it goes in that direction. And a lot of people want to believe, you know, it's just you have that hope that they're going to return to a more happy place. And she continued to try to believe that. She continued to drink the Kool-Aid and think that somewhere along the way, she was going to get her guy back.
Which is also remarkably common. Julie said with Dan and Connor that the studies has also shown that it takes normally 7 instances of abuse before a victim can come to grips with the reality that they're with a serial abuser and actually get up the courage to leave and take the risk of leaving. So, and you should listen to Julie with Dan and Connor earlier today on the podcast. And I saw you on Twitter say what stood out to you the most from the post. And a lot of the responses were about doing it in front of the child.
Yes. And that's why I think in something that is this chilling and unnerving and unpleasant, it brings it home when those details are told in the most vivid descriptions possible. Now, she wasn't comfortable with giving more than what she did on the psychological torment through which he put her. I respect that. I don't ask for that for my own entertainment value, as a few of you texted to suggest. That's not it at all. I just think it helps make her case against him. If that, in fact, is part of what she's doing by writing the blog, that much more black and white. When you get those words that are graphic and disturbing, domestic violence, I was physically abused. That's a very generic term. When it's put into specifics, he grabbed me by the hair and threw me against the refrigerator when I was holding our infant. That's something that puts a picture in somebody's head and resonates with them, just as the other stuff did when it comes to how bad of a dude he was.
I obviously agree with you that the more details, but like, we don't know if what she's pursuing, if she can get herself emotionally to be able to share that,
right.
If she doesn't see any benefit of putting that pen to paper so that her child grows up and reads the details about her father one day, he's with someone else and has kids with someone else. Like, who knows why she shared what she did share and didn't share what she did not share.
It's, I know.
You know what I mean? It's every victim's own story to tell,
right,
if and when they are comfortable with it. And when that number, hundreds of thousands a year, don't go reported at all, I have a hard time quibbling with how she ultimately chose to tell her story. Even though undeniably what you're saying is true, that the well actuallys and the yeah buts and the doubters and the people who want to believe Addison Russell are poking holes in the blog post. It's just, she might not be doing it for them. She might just be doing it for herself.
Yeah, a lot of people who responded to that tweet you alluded to, Danny, I appreciate their response. A lot of guys, and I think some women too, also mentioned that they were children who witnessed that, and they tried to get back to a lot of them and said, I'm sorry that that was part of your experience as a young person, but thank you for your reply. And I certainly, you know, I cannot relate to that. I know, similar to you, although I did see it with a sister. And that's not for today's show. Maybe sometime down the road. But I appreciate everybody who responded. It's a very emotional day for a lot of people when they read this stuff. And it's,
of course,
it's got baseball ramifications too. But I think. And that's something some people don't want to hear about, but it's a reality. There's a postseason right around the corner. Fortunately for the Cubs, baseball-wise, his absence won't really mean much. They're covered to coexist, to have a baseball life without him. They don't need him right now.
No.
That makes it a little bit of an easier pill to swallow today.
And that's why I was talking about it in transition. Like, there's that reality of talent and what you are and are not willing to put up with in terms of the elite talents. And you don't have to be comfortable with it, but it is a reality that it's easier to move on for Addison Russell because he's not playing very well.
Yeah.
And that's just, you don't have to like what that says about how much we value sports and winning and the business of winning and sports and all that. But like, that is the reality, that talent will trump a lot of things. Let's give something away right now, Mac.
How about that? What do you have?
Hey, you know, a haircut, I believe. Yeah, caller number 6 to the Scores contest line at 312-591-6700. You win a Sport Clips haircut at any of their 90-plus Chicagoland locations. Check in online at sportclips.com/check-in and claim your spot today. So caller number 6 right now, 312-591-6700. This segment is also brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. And one more thing, it's also brought to you by Art Design Chicago. Celebrate the city's art and design history at events through Art Design Chicago this year, presented by the Terra Foundation for American Art. ArtDesignChicago.org. Maybe you should just go see it. Speaking of football, even though we're taking you up to Cubs and Sox, it is a football Friday. Bears play on Sunday. I assume you watched the Baker Mayfield experience last night.
I watched it all last night. I met a friend of mine. I worked with at Webb Ford for several months. Greg, we met at Doc's Smokehouse in Dyer right by the house. And as we sit up at the bar, as soon as the game gets switched on, it's first series of the game, and the Jets have the ball, and young Sam Darnold is bringing it. And I see him throw up like a little bubble screen, and I see a Cleveland corner just come up and close it in a heartbeat and make a perfect form tackle and drive the receiver into the ground. And I said, is that my kid out of college? Yes, it is. It is Denzel Ward making an outstanding coverage and form tackle. And I said, week 3 is upon us. And it just kept getting better and better all night. That was some good drama. That was a fun game between two teams most of us around here couldn't care less about.
Well, and the game sucked until Baker Mayfield came in.
I didn't find it suckable. I found some wonder in those. See, I find those little plays that make it 3rd and 14 for a rookie quarterback enjoyable.
Let's put it this way. It was top screen, no volume for me until Tyrod got hurt, and I was like,
yeah.
Oh boy, that last drive of the first half, I was like, I got to throw the volume up here on the top screen, babe. And we watched the Baker Mayfield drive, and then I watched the second half, and it was some fun stuff.
Their offense looked a little different when he was running it, didn't it?
Yeah, he's going to be the starter going forward, and I was thinking about Bears fans the whole time, because that's another QB in the Mitch Trubisky window. I'm serious. Like, listen, you know me. I am not panicking.
Baker Mayfield's also in his first year in a system, and look what he did. Oh, boy.
Listen.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think of that.
I'm not panicked about Trubisky at all. Like, we've talked about all of the reasons not to sell your Trubisky stock and how it's too soon to make sweeping judgments. But the reason why there's concern is because if you look at top drafted young QBs in the last 3 years, basically all of them have flashed higher ceilings than Trubisky has flashed.
Yeah.
Goff has.
You're right.
Watson has. Mahomes has. Wentz has. And now Baker Mayfield has.
See, what my reaction to watching young Baker Mayfield get the Browns their first win in more than 600 days was, I'm feeling good about where our league, if I can be so penile, our league is headed at the most important position on the field. You know, as Goober Manning, Peyton continues to enjoy his life in retirement, and Brett Favre's long a memory, and pretty soon it's going to be the same thing with Brady and Breeze. They're going to go away. Ben Roethlisberger's not going to play forever. Look at the guys who are going to be playing that position who we can entrust the game to and assure that we're going to have the same quality of quarterbacking we've had for a long, long time now. I feel pretty good about the state of the position with young quarterbacks.
The last few years has been very good to it.
Yeah.
No question. But there's also, I can't help but wonder if it's also a product of the times. That it's easier to play quarterback today than it's ever been because of the rules.
I don't know. I'd have to mull that over. I don't want to just give you a knee-jerk reaction to that. Be more specific. Why do you think it would be that way? I mean, which rules in particular? Because they're not letting them hit quarterbacks?
Yeah, that would be a big one. They're not letting them hit quarterbacks.
Yeah, quarterbacks still have to go back there and assume they're going to get hit, though. So
but,
I don't
know. There's a more of a comfort in setting up in the pocket.
I don't know. We'll see if there's more comfort. I don't know. We'll ask a quarterback. We'll ask Chase Daniel next week when we talk to him if there's any more of a level of comfort when an angry guy is arriving with rude intentions because he might get flagged for falling down on you.
the receivers and getting off the line, and yes. you can't contact them more than 5 yards, right. and then easier to go over the middle of the field because they're not going to have – there's the headhunting safety
yep.
is a thing of the past.
That's okay. You're right.
Just also how the offenses are called. Like, if you look at top completion percentage numbers
mm-hmm.
of, like, you know, of seasons of all time, you see Sam Bradford in there. You see Alex Smith in there.
It's horizontal passing.
Well, right. Well, so that lends me to think that, right, the side-to-side passing where that's setting up the run game, it's easier to complete passes. I mean, it feels to me, in general, that it's easier to – like, Dan Marino throwing for 5,000 yards or 4,000 yards in the season back when he did it is a remarkable accomplishment. That was such an outlier. Today,
right. There was still way more of an emphasis on a running game most places.
But today there will be a dozen guys this year that throw for more than 4,000 yards.
Will Troubs be one of them?
I doubt it. But if you just look at the, like, just passing yards, passing touchdowns.
Oh, I know.
Like, there's just.
Yeah, it used to be a big thing even as 15 years ago. It was a much bigger to get to 4,000. Everyone,
right.
Wow, Brad Johnson eclipsed the 4,000-yard mark. He's better than we thought. Now 4,000, you know, yards, maybe you'll have a job next year. Maybe you won't.
Right. Well, so that's, I mean, if you reject the hypothesis or the premise, totally fine, but. So I didn't
reject your hypothesis. I wanted to digest it a little bit.
No, fair enough. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like it's just, I mean, I guess I said it, but I think it's close to fact. Like, it's just easier to play. It's more of a reliance on passing the football. And so I'm with you. Like, the QBs the last few years have been incredible. I just wonder if that's a product of their talent or the times that they're in.
Yeah.
Would you put, who's flashed a higher ceiling? Sam Darnold through 2 games or Trubisky through 14?
Would you add him
to that list?
Sam Darnold looked like a rookie quarterback last night.
Agreed.
In the second half. He was not very good. In fact, he was terrible. He made some terrible throws.
Agreed. And he had no shot of driving them down the field at the end of the game.
No.
You know, like airmail and throws, immediately got into a fourth down. Looked like a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
It looks like how rookie quarterbacks I remember used to look. Baker Mayfield looked like, I was like this Carson Wentz, Pat Mahomes, yeah. Jared Goff thing is crazy.
Did you bet the Browns last night?
No.
No?
No, but it's a hell of a cover for those who did. Down 14-0.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, anytime you bet the Cleveland Browns as a favorite, it's a hell of a cover because they haven't won a game in, more than a year and a half. It's been a long, long time since they've won a game.
Yeah,
I regretted not playing. My guy had it at 3.5, and I said, I want to play it, but it's breaking my rule playing just to play. So I kind of wanted to get behind the Brownies, even though
I said really?
I didn't fall in love with anybody during Hard Knocks. That's true. I didn't. But I'm kind of, you know, a little bit more interested in seeing them just because I feel like I got to know them a little bit more during August and, you know, already knew what I needed to about Greg Williams, and just watching that guy in the sideline just makes me wonder why in the world he still has a job at the NFL level after all he did. That's a different story, and we're almost out of time for this one, Danny. I think the Bears are going to win big Sunday. Let's lay off the trap game nonsense. Let's be positive. I think the Bears are going to win something like 27-9 on Sunday.
That'd be great. I think that they win also. Mitch would make his life a lot easier, given that I don't really believe that he doesn't pay attention to stuff, given that he always talks about the haters and the doubters and the stuff that's out there. He'd make his life a lot easier if he had a 300-yard, 3-touchdown game.
He would, and his coach would make his life easier if he let the team establish a little bit more of an identity that they can run the football, so they start to feel like they – because I don't think the offensive line knows what it has yet in terms of its run block ability. They're protecting all right,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of getting off the ball, and Jordan Howard did not – he's going to have a better game this week. I just feel it.
Yeah, I would think that he would. Again, he's going to pass more than he's going to run. Like, the only guy he's ever coached under is Andy Reid. Andy Reid always, every year, passes more than he runs. So it's not going to be as much as an old school football man as yourself would want, but that doesn't mean that he can't run more than he did. Right? Like,
no, I don't need 45 rushes a game.
Exactly. Just manage your expectations.
Yeah, what I want is run the damn thing once you're protecting a lead and it's middle of the, you're in the late third quarter, start getting in the mud with people and beating up on them. That's not too much to ask, is it?
I don't think so, but that some people will call it taking its foot off the gas, going away from what you do best.
No. It's not. That's just another way you can prove to an opponent you are superior. Look at this. Not only do we have Taylor Gabriel, the little guy, you can't see him, you can't catch him. We got Allen Robinson. We got all these toys, Mitch Trubisky, and we can also run it right down your throats. We can physically embarrass you.
No, running the ball three times to get 10 yards when they know you're going to run and they're trying to stop the run is one of the most impressive things in football.
And there's nothing that demoralizes a defense more than not being able to stop a run when you feel like you're playing on roller skates. That can really hurt your feelings.
And Jordan Howard's a really good player who's still on a rookie deal, so you may as well get the most out of him while you can because you're not going to pay him.
We're both going out of town. You're heading where?
I'm heading to Wichita.
Wichita.
Yeah, should be lovely.
As falls Wichita, so falls
my brother-in-law getting married.
Good for him. Have fun.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm taking Patrick to Mears, Michigan for our annual dune buggy ride tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to work the dunes a little bit.
I'm sure
my back's going to feel great Sunday.
Well, Shep tackled you during one of the commercial breaks.
Shep doesn't realize I have a foot. I've got a biceps. I've got a shoulder.
I got a back.
I got gout.
That's next.
That's coming.
Have a good weekend. Have a good weekend, Nick, Eli. You guys have fun.
You going to spend some time with Hawk Harrelson one last time?
I'm going to roll on it, yes, and I will watch it Sunday night.
Yeah, he is. You're going to watch it over Sunday Night Football? Or did you just lie to us? I think you just lied to us.
What's
again.
The game Sunday night? Because I won't be back from Michigan until probably around 2 o'clock Sunday.
Oh, really? Okay, before the Bears game.
Yeah, so I'll watch the Bears live, and then I'll...
Yeah, and then you'll watch Sunday Night Football live because you'll have missed out on football, which is great.
You're probably right.
Patriots-Lions.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the Patriots and Lions.
All right.
I'll watch Hawk Monday morning.
And Tanny will have all of the Hawkisms.
I can always count on Tanny.
Of course.
Mr. 83.
That's right. Thank you to everyone hustling out at the ballpark and to Shep and Eli and I know BMAC and other people to help us out with the audio of the press conferences from earlier. I'm not sure exactly who had their technical hand in that, but we appreciate the assistance. Eli, great job pinch hitting for Chris Tannehill, our executive producer, Nick Shepkowski. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. Ray Diaz, Tony Gill also helped. I was just told. I'm Danny Parkins. That makes us McNeil and Parkins. Cubs and Sox is coming up next. This is The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.